So take your Bibles, open to Hebrews chapter 11. We're in this series just simply called Faith as we're moving through there. And I have always been, by the way, an adventurous person. I mean, when I was a little kid, I liked adventure. If I could get out and do something I hadn't done before, even before I came to Christ, I was thinking about this yesterday, that for me, I remember when I was 21 years old, I was working for the first sales organization I'd ever worked for, and I had a friend that worked with me. His name was Leon, and the company was a nationwide company, and we, in this one area, there was this map on the wall. And it was of the United States, and there was, you know, one of those red little thumbtacks in each of the places that there was another outlet or another organization, another city around the country. And so we were there talking one day, and we were looking at the map, and we said, you know what, maybe we should go on an adventure. Now, I don't know if you realize this, that for males at 21, your brain is actually not fully developed. For those of you that aren't 21 yet, I'm sorry, you'll get there. But, you know, so you make decisions sometimes that maybe aren't necessarily the most well thought out. But we were ready to go on an adventure. And for us, our plan, we looked at that map and then we said, well, let's go to Arizona first. There's an office in Tempe, Arizona. And so let's go, let's get a hold of that owner and let's see if we can get jobs there. And we got a hold of them, and they said, yeah, we'd love to have you. And we had just a couple problems. One problem was we didn't really have much money, and his transmission was going out in his car, and my car had the motor just went out on it. But, you know, we're resourceful. We said, well, you know, yours is a Camaro, and mine's a Vega, and, you know, my Vega was pretty souped-up Vega, and I said, you know, my transmission will fit in your Camaro, and let's put them together, and we got a car, and let's get out of here. Which, you know, it worked. What we didn't realize is that when we put that transmission, while it bolted perfectly up to the Camaro's V8 engine, because it was for a V8, it actually was this much too short. And which was not a big deal, because if you've ever dealt with any kind of a driveline, you know that the yoke of a driveline is this long. So we only had this much of the yoke of the driveline sticking out of the transmission, which if you're driving around town and you're not racing, is no big deal. But we were going on a plus 1,000-mile road trip. And so we said, okay, we're ready to go. And how much money do we got? If memory serves right, I had an uncashed check of $158. And he had about the same amount of money because it was equal split, right? And he said, let's go. So we had $150 cash and an uncashed check that we wanted to wait until we got to Arizona to cash. We headed off. We got down to about Medford, Oregon, which is on I-5, and the whole car was shaking so bad. We didn't know what to do. We pull over to a gas station. We're talking to a guy, and he says, well, you know, you've got a warp now in your driveline, and what's happening is that it's shaking your shifter, because we went to try to get it out of gear, and it just wouldn't come out of gear. So he says, well, a new shifter is going to cost you about $275. Well, that just was not going to work. So what we did is we said, well, all that's happening right now is that the bolts were coming off. So we would tighten the bolts back up, and we'd drive another 100 miles. And we'd reach underneath the car, and we'd tighten it up. We got to the very bottom part of Oregon, stopped at a store, and was talking to the guy about our challenge. He says, well, you'll probably be all right. Just going to keep tightening up. And he goes, but you know what? You can shave miles and miles and miles off your trip if you get off of I-5 and you go down this highway through Nevada, which will take you through Reno and then Las Vegas, which it would, you know, drop a couple hundred miles off of where we were going. So that was really a great idea. And so we started down this little highway, and of course the sun goes down, and I remember getting into Reno like at 1 a.m, and we just kind of drove through, and then we're going down south of Reno, somewhere going towards Las Vegas, and I don't know, you know, this was not the time where you could just put it in Waze or your iPhone to tell you where you were going. All of a sudden the little detour time sign started popping up here and there, so I started following the detour signs and just kept driving and driving and driving, and I'll never forget, as the sun is coming up, okay, from behind, there's this big old thing going over this highway that says, welcome to California. So we we kind of went, well, I guess we're just going to have to go to I-5 and get back to where we were at. We'll just keep going opposite where the sun's coming up. And as we drive, we ended up in this little town called Lone Pine, California. And Lone Pine, California is just a little bit west of Death Valley. And we're in August. So it had been a rough trip up to that point because, you know, every now we're probably down to 75 or 50 miles. We're stopping and reaching under and tightening the shifter of the on the transmission. And we said, you know, let's stop and just, we'll go ahead and spend some money. Let's have breakfast. So we stop in Lone Pine, California and have breakfast. We come out and get in the car and we go to put it in reverse and we back up and it won't come out of reverse. Well, we know the problem. Just get under and reach. Except the bolts were tight. Uh-oh. We got a bigger problem. So pushing the clutch, push the car forward. We pull the shifter out, and we looked at it. And as I remember it, because it's been a few years ago, I got so mad, I just threw the shifter on the ground, and something, I think it was a spring, popped out of it. But it came out of reverse. So we put it right back in there, and we headed on our trip. Because we were on an adventure. Let me tell you something. By the time we got to Phoenix, which we did make it to Phoenix, by the time we made it to Phoenix, I think we only had first and second gear left. So what we would do, now come on, we're 21. Some of you can relate to this, right? You just get the car going as fast as you can and put the clutch in. That'll get you low, and then do the same thing again. And that's how we ended up in Arizona. It was an adventure to us. We survived. We stayed at a Motel 6 in what would be, I would equate it to being staying down on Lancaster in a Motel 6. That's where we started out in Arizona at. Got all my stuff stolen. It was just an incredible adventure. I'd never want to do it again. But I'll tell you, the memory and the stories are just great. But then God, in his providence, called me on a different adventure. And it's a faith adventure. And if you're a follower of Jesus, God called you on an adventure. The Christian faith was never intended to be boring. It was never intended to be a lifestyle that, oh man, I got to go to church again. Oh man, I got to try to get this figured out in my life. What? Oh. And I know there are people like that. But if you're taking notes, you want to write this down because we're gonna read from Hebrews 11, verse 8 here in a minute. But it's kind of key understandings. It's just very simply this. God calls us to his adventure, his great adventure. Because God has this plan that is unfolding, that if all you do is watch the news, read the newspaper, get your news on Facebook, please don't do that, or anything of that nature, you're going to miss the great adventure and the great plan that God is unfolding right before our very eyes. And what he does with people is he says, why don't you come and follow me on this great adventure? Let me take you to something that's better than Six Flags. Now, people, they get on my case. My wife says I'm a merry-go-round kind of guy. Because I am. I got enough adventure in life. I don't need to get on some stinking roller coaster that everything, you get stress, gets click, you get stressed, and then click, 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 click as you go up that thing. Stress starts to build. I'm telling you, God desires that we have an adventure in life that is as exhilarating and as exciting and is as fun as any theme park that you could ever go to. Now, this next week, it's big for me because, let me tell you, it's big for you too. You don't realize it, but I'm telling you, the Arizona Cardinals are playing the Dallas Cowboys for the Hall of Fame game, just the preseason starts. Amen. And what I love about this church is this church is diverse, various colors, different teams. And when I say colors, some of you are red, some of you are that blue, some of you are green, some of you, you know. Hey, let me tell you something. Last week, Clarissa and I had somebody at our house for dinner. She's picking her kids up this week. Huge Green Bay fan. Yeah, she's going to come out in this church because she feels safe. But here's the other challenge that our culture offers, is we can live our adventurous life through somebody else. And sports is all about, listen, if Dallas wins the Super Bowl, don't know if that's going to happen. If Arizona Cardinals wins the Super Bowl, I don't know if that's going to happen. We're not getting a ring. We're not getting a Super Bowl bonus. Okay? We don't get to get in front of the camera and go, I'm going to Disney World. None of that. We live our adventures, if we're not careful, through other people. That's why there's so many millions upon millions upon millions of dollars spent in TV and in books and on movies. Because we like the stories that start off great, have that problem, and ended up being something beautiful at the end. Not realizing that the God of the universe said, I want to call you into an adventure. This faith adventure that you don't know the things that are going to come down the road. But something beautiful is not just going to happen in you, but something beautiful will ultimately happen through you. Which brings us to Hebrews 11 and verse 8, as the writer of Hebrews is talking about the faith of Abraham. I want to read from the English Standard Version. The writer says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And when he had went out, not knowing, now listen to these words, huge, you want an adventure. Abraham steps out on this adventure, not knowing where he was going. By faith went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, referring to Abraham, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Now I want to go back and I want to read this verse for you one more time in verse 12. It says, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of the heaven. Now, before I go much further, I want to talk to you just for a moment about Christian barrenness. Now, Abraham, when he was called, was 75 years old. He was pretty well entrenched in a life in a place called Ur. And he was entrenched in his life there. And God said, I want to take you on an adventure that will require faith in me. Now, you fast forward and God gives him a promise that he's going to have descendants that are going to be as numerous as the stars, as many as the sand on the seashore. The big problem with that is wife was barren. And Christianity in really the Northern Hemisphere, America, Europe, is predominantly barren. Because we have substituted an adventurous faith for a ticket to heaven. We've exchanged this life that has been intended to bring incredible challenges and ultimately result in great joys for just the enjoyment of watching somebody else do it and experience it. We've exchanged it. God's desire for every person in this adventure of faith is that you leave this legacy and you leave this descendants far beyond you. That can't be done while we're barren. There has to be a choice in our hearts that says, I'm going to take a step of faith. But we have to understand the kinds of things in our culture that keep us from living the kind of adventurous faith that the God of the universe wants every follower of Jesus to experience. So we've got to take that on for ourselves. Adventurous faith, is it challenging? Why? Because when it comes with adventurous faith, you find that faith and fear, man, they're traveling buddies. I really get upset when I hear Christian leaders say, well, if you've got faith, you won't have fear. No, you have faith, fear is going to be right there with it. But you're going to have to make a decision. Which really brings, I think, to an important faith principle. Again, you want to write this down, because you just find this as a whole. Faith ultimately does not focus on the process. Americans are really good at focusing on the process. You know, I remember when God called me to ministry. When God called me to ministry, I know where I was at. I had went to then it was called a sectional revival with the pastor of that day's going to be the Lord, Pastor Swaim, and we were sitting in there, and it's just him and I, and I felt God say, I'm calling you to a full-time vocational ministry. Okay. In my mind, by the way, the moment God said that, fear came because I was married to Clarissa. How am I going to explain this to Clarissa? Okay, she didn't marry a pastor. We're not anything typical pastor people. How's this all going to work out? So I did the next thing. I went right back to the process. So I think it was a week later, and Pastor Swaim and I were golfing, and I said, you know, hey, I'm called to the ministry, and I don't sing, and I ain't called to youth. Even back then, I wasn't called to youth. I said, and you know, in the Assemblies of God, you get into ministry through music or youth, right? If you're on Assemblies very long, you just know that's the case. Well, that didn't work for my process. I said, so what do I do? And I've told this before, but just such incredible words of wisdom. He looked at me and said, I have no idea. Because he had the wisdom not to focus on the process. So what was the next step? That's what faith focuses on. Faith focuses on what is the immediate act of obedience next. So God says to Abraham, I want you to take your family and leave Ur. So what does he do? He says, well, we better get packing. Now, even back then, he had to be going, where are we going, God? And God says, I'm not telling you. Because you don't need to be concerned with the process. You need to be concerned with the immediate form of action or the immediate obedience that God wants you to go to. That's where the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And, you know, you read his life. Man, there are huge gaps, years, years. But I'm sure that when he sat out under the stars and he's going, you know, God, we're not getting any younger here. Where's this kid? How are we going to have descendants? We don't even have a kid. But when it came the moment that God said, here's your next action step, boom, you see that he did it. Sometimes I think we get caught up in thinking that God is ready and wants to micromanage our life. God does not want to micromanage your life. So what did I do? I just started, well, I guess I better start learning about the Bible. Never been to Bible school. Better start going to Bible school. So I started going to Bible school. I had no idea the next step was for God to totally blow up the church after Oliver Swaim left. And Clarissa and I end up moving 3 hours away ministering on the Indian reservation. Had no idea. Until the next step came, and the next step came, and the next step came. And I looked and saw that God was working all along the way. Because he was taking a process that I could have never imagined. That I, in my limited scope of view of life, could never have scripted out. Could never have written in a book beforehand. He had written in a book long before creation ever happened. And so these are the steps that are going to happen. This is what's going to happen in the process. So that not only you leave a legacy. And not only do you have descendants and godly descendants. But ultimately, you are conformed in the likeness of me. Because it's never just about what God is doing through us. It always starts with what God is doing in us. So if you really want to really walk this thing of faith, this adventurous faith, let me give you three things real quick. Not going to spend much time here. But there are really three areas that you find that Abraham did that I think is applicable regardless of what your adventurous of faith is, whatever it is, whether it's you're just starting to walk with the Lord, or the Lord has said, I want you to step out in this ministry, or I want you to anchor yourself in this relationship, or whatever it is that you're starting to, you're saying, this is this adventurous faith. Three things. First is you have to leave something. God will always ask in faith to leave. Sometimes for Abraham, it was leaving a physical place. I can remember when I moved into ministry and we had planted the church in Northeast Arizona. And I had come, I still worked for the company, but I had been trained in leadership in this is how corporate America works. And so I tried to take corporate America and I tried to make it work in the church world. It didn't work. Why? Because my idea of leadership that I had learned was not the way Jesus did leadership. Were there principles that were principles? Yeah, absolutely. But ultimately, it wasn't about the leadership thing. It had to do with me. So I had to leave ways of doing things. I had to choose to walk away. And in this adventurous faith that God calls us into, there is always thing God says walk away. God will say walk away from this kind of a lifestyle. He'll say walk away from this kind of a method of doing your relationships. Walk away from, because you know what you find in the world, whether it's on a world scale or an individual scale, is that people do the same thing over and over again expecting different results. But what God does in this adventurous faith is he says, let's try something a little bit different. Just get walking. Go ahead and leave. I'll show you along the way. I'll help you with the next problem you're going to encounter, whatever it is. But I think the next thing is that in this adventurous faith, we have to really learn to what it means to live in the world with not being a part of the world. He went and he had these tents. He didn't anchor his life in this world. When you become a follower of Jesus, your life will get better in the sense of God will help you all along the way. You now have help and resources you never had before. And the great challenge to that is that God helps you. You think that God is there to do nothing but make your life here better. And when that happens, all of a sudden we get anchored and anchored and anchored and anchored in this life. And if you've ever done any kind of gardening, I like to catch weeds when they first come up. Why? Because the root system's not in. But man, those ones that have been around a while, you start trying to yank those out. And I'm telling you, some American Christians, they're so anchored in this life because they're so concerned about who's politically correct. They're so concerned about what police officers do, what was right, what was wrong. They're so concerned with my way and my economics and my. You can finish it any way you want. And God's trying to pull you out for something greater, but you're entrenched in this life. The idea of being in this world, but not being of this world, is too foreign. Why? Because the culture of this world is too much in control of you. Had a great conversation with a guy last night. And he's from Nigeria. And I said to him, so how did you make America better by bringing the best of Nigeria here? It took us a while to make sure we were talking about the same thing. And it wasn't a matter of him being a good citizen. It wasn't a matter of him paying taxes. It wasn't a matter of him helping the work world. It's a matter of that there was beauty in Nigeria, and that beauty and that culture came to America. And it's a God thing. So you begin to look at it. Because let me tell you something. That brother I talked with yesterday, he said what was so interesting about Fort Worth. To be quite honestly, Fort Worth, I don't get Fort Worth. I'd never heard of white flight till moving here. I don't get that. I think it's stupid. In fact, I think it's demonic, quite honest with you. And I said, we get to heaven, we're not going to be going, oh, Nigerians over there, Americans over here. No, we're going to worship together. So why wait? Because, listen, this world is trying to do everything it can to do racial, economic, political, financial divides. And it's the church that needs to say, not only will we speak against that, we will live against that. Because the people we're traveling with, what? We're going to heaven. And we're gonna, that's our ultimate destination, right? And then the last one is just simply that we as a people in this faith, we have to learn not to lean on our own understanding. Just like when I was standing at that map, And I envisioned, I had no idea what Tempe, Arizona was going to be like. I had these ideas in my head, but I had no idea. Internet wasn't around then. And so I had these ideas, but I also had no idea what was going to take place from the moment we left until we got there. But that didn't stop me. But in our Christian world, here's what we do without realizing it. We stop and we say, if I can't think 2, 3, 4, 5 moves ahead. And listen, let me tell you something. If you're a chess player, if you're an engineer, if you're a business strategy person, then it's easy to go, I got to be out there. And there should be a level of that in our lives. But ultimately, faith says, I got to focus right here. What step are you telling me to take next, God? What's that next thing? And then it's there that God can take us from one step to the next step to the next step. That ultimately we look back in our lives and we talk to people who's never experienced the adventurous life and we say, hey, let me tell you, look at these people who've come into the kingdom. Look at these people who've been water baptized because of my obedience to the Lord. Look at these people who've been filled with the Holy Spirit because of my obedience. Look at these people who've moved in to learning and growing and now putting that into action because of my obedience. Legacy and descendants, that's what it's about. We're praying last night. I said, let me tell you something. Bethel is no longer barren. Bethel's no longer barren. Because we believe in legacy. We believe in descendants, godly children who will come into the kingdom. And you know what? We don't always understand how that's going to happen. Doesn't mean that we're inactive. Doesn't mean we don't do anything. Just means we don't understand how it's happening. We focus on the here and the now. I'm going to ask Darren just to come up here in a moment. I want to kind of finish with this question, though, and challenge and finish with prayer here. Is where are you? Where are you in this adventurous faith journey? What step is God asking you to personally take? Now, if you're for some people, I really felt in prayer that there's going to be some people here that God spoke at about an adventurous faith years ago. And because of the barrenness, because of maybe fear, because of, you know, life circumstance, it's continued to be barren, and you've kind of given up on it. And the Lord is saying to you this morning, I want you to now take a step back towards that. Maybe there's someone here this morning that you've never made a faith commitment to Jesus. You've never said to Jesus, I'll follow you. And this morning, Jesus is saying, now, I'm going to ask you to leave an old life and step into a new life. Maybe you've gotten so in the habit of thinking that faith and fear aren't traveling buddies. You just can't comprehend why fear sticks around, so it's polarized you. It's made you static in your faith. And now God is saying, now it's time to overcome that. Because here's what I believe the Lord's going to do with some people. Some of you need a fresh filling of God's Holy Spirit to give you the courage to be able to take this next step that he's calling you to. And so I think there are some people that God's saying, I want to just pour my spirit up on you on fresh this morning. So I don't know where you're at this morning. Would you just bow your heads with me briefly? Lord, we just come before you and give you thanks that you're a God that calls us into an adventurous faith. That God, you call us to a place where we're willing to leave things, where we say that we're not of this world and we don't always get this world longer with you, but Lord, we're looking for a better world. Lord, we don't need to lean on our own understanding. We need to trust, Lord, that you will have the tomorrows worked out. But Lord, we're coming back to focusing on this day and this step. And Lord, you know what you've called each individual person to. You know the words that you spoke to them, whether it's this morning or it's been long ago, that you're saying that you're wanting them to take that next step, to no longer look down the line and trying to get the whole chain of events figured out, but to take the next step. Lord, there are some that you're calling to be filled fresh with your Holy Spirit so that, Lord, they might have the courage to take the kind of step that you want them to take. And here's what I want you to do this morning. If you're here this morning and you need that courage to take the next step, you need to be filled fresh with the Holy Spirit. You said to the Lord, I'm taking a new step today. I'm reviving that old promise that you've given me. I'm not giving up. I want you to stand up right now. Let's go ahead and stand up right now. This is normal Christian stuff. Darren's going to begin to sing a song. As he begins to sing a song, what I'm going to ask you to do is you've stood up. I'm going to ask you to come down, and we're going to agree in prayer together. We're going to believe that God's going to fill you fresh with His Holy Spirit. If you're committing to follow Jesus this morning, He's going to say, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to strengthen you. If you've been waiting to hear the voice of the Lord, and I really felt there was one person that the Lord was saying, I've got a word for you this morning. And you've been waiting, saying, Lord, it's been a long time since I've heard your voice. Then you need to come down. Why don't you come? Darren, why don't you begin to sing?